Good morning, Jacob Swell. I am Mike Russert. I'm the interim youth ministry leader here. And Greg was not satisfied with the like negative 22 below in the Twin Cities. So he decided to go to Camp Du Nord, like near Canada or something, where it's just a little bit colder. So he's not here. But I'm glad to be here with you. And also, it was Greg's birthday on Friday. So next time you see him, embarrass him. Or just, you know, say something really nice, like happy birthday, and you're a cool guy. But today, we're starting our fourth week of this Life in 3D series. And we have these Sunday papers that you all should have received. And there's an outline on the back. So if you want to follow along with the message, if that's helpful for you, please do that with us. But let me just give you a quick recap what this Life in 3D thing is all about. So when you go to a movie and you get these fancy glasses, right, you put them on, and all of a sudden this flat 2D screen, it becomes alive, right? I mean, it jumps out at you. Maybe you get scared and you throw your popcorn because there's like a dragon that's about to eat you, right? 3D, 3D technology. It's actually really simple when it comes down to it. What it is it's when you watch a 3D movie, you're actually watching multiple camera angles of the same thing, but shot from different directions. And when those two camera angles are added together, you put these glasses on, and you've got one image for your left eye and one image for your right eye, and your brain puts it together to create this illusion of 3D, right? This illusion of depth and realness. And we are talking about life in 3D because life is the same way, right? Life can happen in 3D. You might say, duh, right? It does happen in 3D. But what we're talking about here with this Life of 3D series is our human lens, how we see the world. There's something about it that's incomplete. Maybe it's left a little flat. But when we add that God lens to our lens, we begin to see life in 3D. We see this full picture of what life can be. And we began in that first week, we talked about inspiration, right? We said that God inspires us to give us an idea of God's hope for you and for the world. And that inspiration can come in many ways. And one of the ways that we've been really intentionally seeking out some of that inspiration is by entering into God's Word, by reading some of the Bible. And together as a community, we've been reading the Bible together using this tool called SOAP. It's a tool for daily Bible reading, and I'm going to explain a little bit about that later in the message, and I'll actually demonstrate it for us. But so we get inspired, and sometimes it comes through Scripture or reading the Bible. It can come from other places, but we get a little glimpse of what life in 3D, what full life could be. But that inspiration, you know, something has to happen with it, right? Something has to, it causes us to change. Really what it does is, if it's working the way it should, it causes us to grow. We talked about growing into a new identity. That glimpse into that 3D vision of life and the world could change us and make us something new. Greg talked about that last week. He talked about seeing the world as God sees it. And how we tap into that is through this intentional entering into relationship and reading the Bible together. And it just happens through life. So that growing piece, we grow into a new identity. But growing is great, and so is being inspired. But it's not great if it's not lived, right? And that brings us to what we're talking about today. We're talking about living, where the rubber hits the road, right? All that inspiration and that growth happens for a reason. There's a purpose, right? It's not just about getting really, really bloated. right? We're supposed to live it out. And all that growing and inspiration and growing leads to living. And that living is so that we make an impact out in the world, that our living could bring about that 3D vision that God has, that it could make it a reality. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, that's kind of a big job for us. And if you're like me, you know, if somebody asks something of me, I want to know that that person is willing to do the task first, right? And that's the God that we have. See, we don't have a lip service God. We have this God who gets into the nitty-gritty of life. We have a God who models what 3D living is all about. And we can see that in the stories of the Bible. We can see that we have a creator who's engaged in creation. And I think the clearest picture that we get of that is in Jesus, right? Jesus is God in 3D, God living out that vision for the world. You've all heard that joke, like, what are the two certainties in life? Death and taxes. Guess what? Jesus knew both of those realities. He lived them. He did. He knew those things. And we see these stories of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. They show us what God's 3D vision for the world is like in Jesus. And what does it look like? It looks like feeding hungry mouths. It looks like loving the unlovable, touching the untouchable. It looks like pushing back against institutions that have gone wrong, like this oppressive Roman Empire, or even the religious leaders of his time that wanted to paint this picture of God as one who expected conformity to rules instead of a God who calls us to love by first loving us. Jesus showed us and the world what God is all about. He gave us a 3D vision, and it looks like love. And Jesus took this to the fullest. You know, that one Thing Remains song was very beautiful, and it ties into this. Jesus shows us the extent of God's 3D vision for the world and how he lived, but also how he died. We get this idea, or we see that God's 3D vision wouldn't even let death keep God from us or us from God. So God, real in Jesus, enters even into death in Jesus so that nothing is left that can separate us from God. And that is a story for all of us. And it's a story that matters. It's beautiful. And it doesn't end with the Gospels. There is a book in the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles. And Acts of the Apostles is actually kind of part two of Luke's Gospel. They're written by the same writer. So if you ever want to know what happened after Jesus dies from the perspective of one writer who captures his life and what happens after his life, read Luke and then go to Acts. It's pretty cool. But so after Jesus dies, all these followers, they're gathered together in one room, and I imagine there's a lot of fear. I imagine there's a lot of questions. This leader that we followed and that loved us and showed us how to love is all of a sudden gone. We got this picture of Jesus being resurrected, and that was great, but now what, right? And so the disciples and followers, other followers of Jesus, are gathered together in this room. And I have this Acts text up on the screen from Acts chapter 2. So they're gathered together in this room. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gave Jesus' followers hope. It gave them purpose. It gave them the strength they needed to be the church, right? We're going to talk about the church today. God works in real ways through the church. And that Pentecost story is the birth of that church. And the church has been around for 2,000 years. We're still plugging. But here's the deal, right? Church, it's a very loaded word. It's one of those words like grace or sin or hell or whatever word you want to plug in there. It's loaded, right? It's got a lot of stuff that we have to unpack. It's got baggage. And sometimes we are that baggage when it comes to church. We had this series in November called Elephants in the Room. And when it comes to the church, there are tons of them, right? Tons of elephants in the room. That was almost a pun, but it failed. So courtesy laugh here. Okay. All right. Thank you, Eric. Wow. So seriously, though, church is full of baggage. I mean, you can't really go 15 minutes without hearing about a child sex abuse scandal. You can't go a week without hearing about how maybe Westboro Baptist Church is doing this very hateful protest. And it's like, what is going on here? This isn't the church that I'm talking about here. In fact, I don't think, you know, really that that's church at all. I think it totally misses the mark. The church isn't a building. That's part of the reason why Jacob's Well doesn't own a building, because we aren't a building. Church isn't a building. The church isn't even institutions like the ELCA or the Roman Catholic Church. Those are incomplete pictures of the church. Here's the definition that I want to work with for church. And we've heard this before. It's a movement. It's people being church by seeing themselves as part of the same community carrying out God's work in the world. So it's people with this shared vision, this 3D vision, and people coming together and trying to figure out how to live it out. That's the church that we're talking about here. And God's 3D vision, you know, it doesn't happen with the tap of a magical wand, right? If that were the case, there wouldn't be any need for church. God's 3D vision for the world happens when God's Spirit and people work together to make that 3D vision a reality. So what does that mean? Well, that means that God needs us. God needs the church, and God needs you, each and every one of you. You see, without you, God's 3D vision for the world is incomplete. There is a U-shaped hole in God's vision. The church and God's 3D vision for the world is incomplete without you, each and every one of you. And this maybe makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but sit with it. It's true. I want to claim it as true. God's 3D vision is incomplete without you. And I think maybe it'll help if we soap together to flesh this out a little bit more. So again, soap is this method for daily Bible reading. It should take only about 10 minutes a day. You can see on your Sunday papers, the soap piece is written out here. You read one chapter a day, and then you take this acronym SOAP, sentence, observation, application, and prayer. And those they shape how you engage that Bible story. So let me just demonstrate this for you. It just so happens that we as a community are reading 1 Corinthians right now together. We're soaping with this together. And 1 Corinthians is a letter that was written by Paul to this church in Corinth that was really trying to figure out, how do we be church? What does it mean? This is very early on in the life of the church in Corinth. It's a community really trying to figure it out. And it just so happens that the scripture I want to look at is actually assigned for January 31st. And you can see in this top corner of your papers, the SOAP readings for the week are listed there. So take that with you. Stick it in your journal or stick it in your Bible, and we'll SOAP together through this week. But I want to look at January 31st and this 1 Corinthians 12:12-31. So I select a sentence from that section of scripture, and what I've chosen for my sentence are these three verses that you see up here. Now you could say, Mike, select a sentence. That's obviously more than a sentence, right? You could select a word or phrase, so I chose a paragraph. Okay, here's the deal. SOAP isn't a rule for how to read the Bible, right? It's just a tool that helps us shape how we engage it. So if you want a three-sentence S, pick your sentence for that scripture, you can have a three-sentence S. That's okay. Paul is really wordy too, so he kind of necessitates that sometime. But yeah, so don't go about this too militantly. But let me read this for you. This is the sentence that I chose that kind of stuck out to me. If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. So this really kind of stuck out to me. This was a sentence or sentences that that made me think. And it made me make some observations, and that's what the O is. So let me share with you some of these observations that I had. Paul is using this metaphor of church as a body, the body of Christ. And when I think about a body, it's all interconnected and necessary, right? We need all the different parts of our body in order to function and to live. And at the same time, they're all different and unique. So I imagine myself as a spleen, and you guys are all colons, right? I guess not all colons, because that would go against the differentiation we're looking at, but insert your body part here. So, all right, let's move on. So, okay, so without you, without these individual pieces and parts of our body, it doesn't function as it should, right? It's incomplete, and we're not fully living into or able to live into how our body is made and what it's capable of. Another observation is this. If we were all the same, it'd be like being one giant hairy eyeball. That's just how I picture it. That's if the whole body were an eye, I can just see this massive, it's just freaking me out. But we are not all little minions that all look the same, talk the same, act the same. We're different. We're each individually beautiful and unique creatures created by God. And we have all these gifts and passions and talents that make us unique and different from one another. And that's a very good thing. If everybody was one giant hairy eyeball, the world would just be incomplete. It would be really, really weird. So our unique, the way that we are uniquely created matters, right? And we have purpose in that way. So God's 3D picture for the world has this amazing diversity, but it's this diversity that all works together for this purpose, for this beautiful living out of what God hopes for the world, that we could live full lives that are marked by love. And that observation leads me to this application. So God created each of us as unique and beautiful creatures. We all have these different passions and abilities. And that means that the church, when it's living in 3D, that means that we have to bring our whole selves to the game. We have to bring everything about us, everything that's unique and great and awkward and whatever else. We bring our whole selves to the church and to life. 3D life is not about conformity to this popular perception of what a Christian is. 3D life is uniquely us, but it's uniquely us in love and service to God and to others, right? That's why without you, God's 3D vision is incomplete. So, the question is, for all of us, what is our unique call, our unique purpose, our unique way that we're supposed to live in the church and in the world? And then that application leads to prayer. So, well, let's pray together. God, Creator, your creation is really amazing and diverse and all necessary for life to function as it should and can. And you created us with all these unique abilities and skills and passions. Be with us and help us to see where we might use those passions and those skills and gifts in service to one another and in service to you. Help us to figure out our M&M. Amen. M&M, what is that all about? You got some M&Ms. Maybe you ate them already. That's okay, right? So take, if you still have some, if you don't, take out two. If you don't have them, borrow them from a neighbor, right? So at Jacob's Well, we like to talk about our M&M. And what that means is we all have, go ahead and grab some. We all have a unique ministry within the church and a unique mission beyond the church. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about M&M. This is going to get messy if you hold these in your hands too long. So if you want to eat them, go right ahead. But you are uniquely shaped for a ministry within the church and a mission beyond it. And I think that mission beyond it piece is really easy to tie into. You know, we see needs out in the world. We know that being good people and working to make other people's lives is a good thing, right? That's an easy sell. But what is with this ministry within the church? And let me kind of unpack that with you. So let's think back to that that Acts story that I was referring to. All these Christians, or not Christians, they weren't Christians yet, but all these followers of Jesus were gathered together in this room, and the Holy Spirit enters in and just changes everything. Now, this didn't happen to one individual, right? It happened in community because God knows that we need each other, right? In order for God's 3D vision to be a reality, we need one another. That's why we have a church. We need community in order to live out all this amazing and beautiful stuff that we see in Jesus, right? So the church continues on this work that Jesus starts, and it happens in community because it can't happen alone, right? We need each other. We need each other for encouragement. We need each other for those times where we need to be put in check. Maybe we're living a little 2D, and we need to be bumped and get a picture of that 3D vision. Sometimes we need each other to figure that out. We need each other when we're going through the tough stuff of life, right? We need support. We need each other to figure out together what this whole God thing is all about, because it's confusing and it's difficult. It's not easy, right? And it's also beautiful and expansive. And that's why we need one another. We need community in order to figure out what it is God is calling us to and then going out and living it. So there's a list I believe, of all these things that are ministries within Jacob's well. Now, it's kind of intentionally really tough to read because it's not a list like everything Jacob's well does. It's not a list written in stone. But all these things matter. And let me just kind of run through it quick. Band roadies, picking up garbage in the parking lot, checking in with somebody who's going through stuff, listening to and encouraging someone, playing games with fourth and fifth grade river rats, accounting, financial coaching, just plain counting. I saw Joe out. Joe's really gifted at counting. He can count how many people are in this room and in the room over there. Amazing, right? No, but we need all of these things. And some of these things are very unique to us, you know? Not everybody can be in the pond right now with toddlers, right? And not everybody can figure out the fiasco that we had with some of the like sound stuff and projections and this thing, and we'll get that figured out eventually. But somebody is uniquely gifted to help figure that out, and that's a beautiful thing. And there's all this other stuff, right? Like setting up chairs and folding our Sunday papers. That's kind of grunt stuff, but that's necessary too, right? That's part of being community. And community doesn't happen without that grunt stuff. So it's not all, you know, unique and, you know, you have to have this particular gift for doing something. Sometimes we just got to do stuff. But we do. We bring our whole selves to this life and how we live it in community. So think on that. Let's think on that. I look out here, and I know so many of you are deeply engaged in living out your ministry within this community, right? You've been doing it for years, right? Thank you. Keep doing it. Keep going. Keep plugging. Diversify even. Add some more stuff. That'd be great. Maybe you wanted more. Yeah, right. Maybe you want to more deeply engage with the community and its life, right? Ask someone, what is it that I could be doing to help this ministry and this community exist? What is my ministry that I can bring? Ask yourself that. Or better yet, you know, when you figure it out, say, hey, this is what I'm bringing here. This is what I got. I want to bring this to the community and share it. Do that, and then live it out. That's what we want to do together. So that's our ministry within the church. It's important, it's necessary, it matters. We need each other. Now, what's this other M about? This mission beyond, right? We get filled up, we get encouraged, we get this picture of what God is doing in the world, and we see all those needs that are out there. We see all these opportunities that are out there to show the world what 3D life is. That's our mission beyond, right? And they're interconnected, and one feeds the other, but mission beyond. You know, what is it that you are uniquely gifted to bring to the world? There are U-shaped holes, the gifts that you have that are out in the world that need to be filled. So be there. You know, let's do that. Let's do our mission beyond. And let's encourage one another to find that and then to participate in it. One of the ways that that is happening is with our youth. We had a middle school and high school lock-in last night. Raise your hands, guys. Maybe stand up. We can do a little shake, twist, or whatever we did. You know, we had so much fun and so many games. We didn't bring the sumo stuff, but next time, right? But these guys learned all about water and the importance of clean drinking water. And really, what was it we heard? Clean drinking water is what? Yeah, and it's the most important thing that we can do for a community. Communities can't function without water. So they learned about some of the work that World Vision is doing in making and providing wells for communities that didn't have access to clean drinking water. And one of the ways that they are participating in their mission beyond is by selling Valentine's buttons for us. The money that they raise is going to be used to support World Vision in their ministry of building wells for communities that don't have them. So they're going to be over there at the table. Cindy's over there kind of by the table. Thanks for waving, Cindy. And they're going to be selling those Valentine's buttons. And you can give those out as Valentine's to your loved ones. And they can know that they participated in this great thing of making clean drinking water possible. It's a beautiful thing. We all have these different missions in the world. Now, I think the best way to maybe kind of really flesh this out is by bringing some flesh up here. So we have Jeff Gears, who's going to join me up front. We're going to have a little conversation. Jeff is a Jacob Sweller who's been doing a lot of good, hard work thinking about what his 3D, what that 3D vision that God has for his life is, and what is his unique M&M, and how does he live that out? So we're going to talk about that. Jeff, thanks for being up here.
Thank you.
You're a brave soul.
I guess.
Yeah. No, you are a very willing, you got a great story to share. So maybe start by just kind of sharing a little bit about how this process of finding your M&M and that 3D life began for you.
Sure. I think to start, I would say just over a year ago, I made a choice to leave a very secure, good job I had at an architecture firm to start my own practice. And there was a lot of reasons I did that. I won't bore everyone with the details, but one of the big reasons was I have two children, a third on the way, and I wanted to spend more time with my family. As I told friends, I want to be around my kids while they still like me. You know, someday when they don't like me, then I might go back to a desk job. So that was a big motivation, and you know, obviously there's the concern about the financial impact that that would bring going off on your own. You know, but I can report, you know, a year later of this thing that I'm calling my great experiment that I've kind of fulfilled the need, or I've fulfilled one of the goals, and that's that I'm around my children a lot more. And, you know, financially things have been okay. So, but that's not really why I'm up here. I'm not here to talk about the success of that. I'm, you know, something that's come out of this last year that's probably been as important, if not more, is it's given me a lot of time to really reflect on what's really important, really what's the end game with what you do every day with your career. Certainly we need resources for paying bills and that sort of thing, but there's things that are more meaningful. And the big word that keeps coming back to me is the word enough. What does the word enough mean on a daily basis? Do we have enough? Do I have enough to pay my bills? Do I have enough time with my kids? So it's really given me a chance to focus on that. And you know, one of the things that's come up is the idea that we have been blessed during this time that, you know, things have gone well financially for us, that it's given me time to think about those that maybe don't have as much luck with that and things that are not going well for them. And, you know, I don't get a paycheck every other week or once a month now. I get paid when a project gets done and if a client chooses to pay me. So, you know, but I can't tell the world that. I can't tell reality, Quest bill, I can't pay you this month. So you have these bills that you have to pay, and there's this kind of balance of reality and all that. But the thing I thought about a lot during this is the notion of tithing. And it's been a struggle, and I thought about it a lot, because now that I don't have this reoccurring regular paycheck, how do I allocate resources for tithing? And you know, please understand, I think, you know, tithing is important for the church as a community. We need money, we need resources for things to operate. But I was thinking of more internally, in the sense that I think of tithing as a way that I trust in God more, that I can live off less. So how do I live off less and help, you know, help spread God's missions when I don't know if I have a regular paycheck? And that led to another thought, that being, I get paid for a service. So I provide a service, I get paid for that. So thus, time is worth money. And I started thinking to myself, well, what if I cut out the middleman being client? So now time is money. And so that means my time is worth money. If I can't give financial resources, I can give my time. So that's what initiated this idea that I kind of started thinking about, which I've now started calling my 10th campaign, meaning if a tithe is supposed to be a 10th, what if I allocated 4 hours of my work week to giving?
Very cool.
So it's giving of myself, not necessarily resources.
Yeah, and that giving back, how is that uniquely you?
Right. That's a good question. When I first started thinking about this, I think, I don't think I just speak for myself. I think a lot of us want to give, but it's really daunting to think, where do I start? What do I do? How is my time best spent helping God's people? I think we should all be doing things like working at a homeless shelter or Feed My Starving Children, World Vision. I think these are all great things.
Right.
And I think we should all be doing those things. But I started thinking about the fact that, okay, let's just use some numbers. Let's say in the Twin Cities area there's 10,000 architects. I don't even know if there's that many. Compared to the population, if you do the math, that's less than 1% of the population has a skill set that I have.
Yeah.
So even though I could be taking those 4 hours each week going to a food shelf and doing those things, which are great, maybe if we talk about the body, like you were talking about Mr. Spleen, maybe I should be really focusing my efforts on that 1% skill set that I have that other people don't and be sharing that with those that are in need. And so I've made it this personal journey for myself to say, okay, let's find a way that 4 hours each week I can help provide architectural service to people that not only can't pay me but shouldn't pay me. Ways that I can help them. That led into several conversations. Both were, it started out with I had this idea and it was kind of brewing inside me, so I thought I want to sit and talk to Greg about it because he's much smarter than I am. And how can this work? Because I know he has great connections in the community, and I thought, well, maybe he might know somebody I could contact to see how I could start this process. Yeah. So we sat down and had coffee, and then also I brought it up with my group life.
Very cool.
And in that process, it was like it transformed again. This whole time it had started out as I want to help. Maybe I make it more personal by helping in a way that I feel I can help that others maybe can't.
Yeah.
But then the next level is after I had these conversations, it transformed again into this idea of not just being what I can do. So not just saying it's a architectural help, but maybe it's something that everyone can do. We all have specific skill sets, and it doesn't necessarily have to be your career. Oftentimes it's not. Maybe it's a hobby or something that you're really passionate about. Maybe you're a great basketball coach. Maybe you're a good mechanic. Maybe you're an accountant and that's your passion, whatever it might be. So I brought it up to group life, and I can't take credit for it, especially when he's sitting here staring at me. Eric came up with the idea. I presented this, and he came up with the term help shelf. We have something called a food shelf for those people that need food. But maybe this is an opportunity that we can offer ourselves in a way that other people can't.
That's a beautiful thing. Sorry to interrupt, but it's so great. I mean, you're living out how this is happening in community, how community is inspiring you, helping you to grow, expanding that vision.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you hope for the future? What do you see as God's 3D vision for you?
Well, like I said, once I started talking to people and realized that this is much more than just what I can do as an individual, it's about what the community can offer. What I really hope is that this becomes some sort of platform that often, like I said earlier, I think oftentimes we get intimidated by the idea of where do I help? What can I do? How do I start?
Yeah.
Or on the other side of the equation is, gosh, I really need help, but who do I ask?
Yeah.
Because, if there's certain things that are, food and clothing and stuff, we know there's resources for that. But what if there's something that isn't, there isn't a clear path of how do I get help? So the idea being, you know, if we could create a community of a resource of help, and it's not just about the people in the room. You know, say, I can't see with a bright light, but let's just say there's, you know, even 100 or 150 people here today. Sure, if you have a need, you could approach this network and say, I need help with something. Great. But that's not really the strength. The strength lies in the network of what Jacob's Well is. You know, I just say, conservatively speaking, we probably each know 200 or 300 people that aren't here today, and maybe they don't even live by here. But the idea of being, you know, say that you're going for a walk on a day when it's not 20 below, and you see an elderly woman, a neighbor of yours, who has a flat tire that needs help, and you would like to offer help, but you don't know how to do that.
Sure.
You could potentially, you know, dial into this help network.
Beautiful.
And say, can somebody go help my neighbor?
Yeah.
You know, so the idea being that we offer the service, you know, in really any capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reminded that story that we read in Acts is this birth of the church, right? And they're filled with the Spirit. And like the next chapter, or maybe even the same chapter, you see all these people, and what it says is they bring all their resources together and they shared them, you know? And so it's this idea, you know, it sounds really utopian, but really what it sounds like is 3D life. You know, it's us being good neighbors to one another and loving one another and doing that in a network where we can meet so many more needs than we could as individuals. So that's a beautiful thing. And Jeff, I know this is something that's growing, and it's a passion that you're aspiring to. And, you know, we all as a community want to figure these things out together. And this is good work that you're doing. And thank you for being up here.
Yeah.
Maybe we can clap him back to his seat. So.
Thank you.
So it is. It's something that we're living into. And Jeff will be the first one to say this. He's still asking some of those questions, like, how does this happen? How do we do that? And that's why we gather in community and figure it all out together. And his idea and Eric's idea of a tent campaign or a help shelf, here's the disclaimer. Jacob's Well, as a church, doesn't own the idea of a help shelf or a tent campaign. You know, it's not the role of like a church staff or the church as an organization to create all these programs and keep them going for the sake of keeping them going. Because then it would be about somebody else's idea becoming someone, you know, becoming your idea. But you bring your unique self to your ministry within the church and your mission beyond. So we want, as a community, to support one another in making that happen. And it happens organically. And that's a beautiful thing. That's just, it is. It's just a beautiful thing. So maybe this is where the hallucinations from sleep deprivation come in. So maybe that's a sign that I should wrap up, right? But God inspires us and grows us for a reason, so that we can go out and live and make an impact. You know, at Jacob's Well, we say this. We say that you are Jacob's Well. And we are Jacob's Well together. And we live this way. We seek to live that 3D life because living that matters, right? It matters. It's a beautiful thing. So let's figure that out. What is our M&M? Let's ask that. And let's figure out how we can support one another into living as the church and living out in the world as God's love out in the world, making that 3D vision a reality. Let's pray. God, you are doing amazing and beautiful things in this world. You're always active and present, even in the difficult places. Fill us with strength. Give us vision to see what that 3D life can be. And then give us the strength that we need to go live it. Help us to be Jacob's Well to one another and to the world. Amen.